Thank you, Britt. Thank you, Steve. And thank you, Dylan, for those prayers. Always an encouragement to be here, to be before you. We're thankful for your presence. If you're visiting with us, we're thankful that you're here. We want to invite you back at any opportunity that you have to be with us here at O'Neill. I want to ask you to stick around after church. Let us get to know you a little better. If you're looking for somewhere to attend regularly, we would certainly ask you to consider us to be that home if you're looking for one. I also want to remind everyone that we have our third Sunday evening singing class tonight after services. Start about 10 minutes after class or after services this evening. When Al and I were growing up, when we were younger, our dad was a member of the local IBEW, the local electricians union. He did a lot of work on high voltage power lines, power plants. So doing that, he traveled around the country, spent a lot of time up north in Ohio and Illinois and Indiana. And when he would travel, most people didn't know him by his name. Most people just called him Bama or Alabama. You might know why they called him that, not really because he's from here, but because of his accent. He is blessed, as many of us Alabamians are, with a beautiful southern accent, one that is recognizable to many people the first time you meet. You yourself may have had someone say to you when you are traveling away from here, "I bet you're from Alabama. I just recognize that accent." You might say that your speech betrays you. People know by the way that you talk where you're from. The same thing happened to Peter. Peter, as he is standing in the courtyard, Jesus is on trial. He's before the Sanhedrin. Peter's speech betrays him. People know who Peter is and where he's from by the way he talks. Matthew chapter 26 is where we'll begin this evening. We'll read verses 69 through 75, and we'll reference these verses several times throughout our study together. I invite you to open up your Bibles and read along. Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75, it says, "Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him, saying, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you are saying.' And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And a little later those who stood by came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you.' Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man.' Immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' So he went out and wept bitterly." You know, we have a lot in common with Peter. We have a lot more in common with Peter than just a recognizable accent. Tonight I'd like for us to study about Peter's denial, the things that happened. It's an account that we have in all four of the Gospels. We'll spend much of our time in Matthew's account. You know, if I was asking you just from memory, what's the first word that comes to your mind when I ask you about Peter? There's lots of things you might say. But the first thing that comes to my mind is Peter's boldness. Peter was a bold man. When I think about him, I think about someone who might have been a little bit loud. Didn't really fall back in the crowd, but was always at the front. Someone who voiced his opinion. You knew where you stood when you were with Peter. You knew what his opinion was of the situation, of the topic at hand. Peter was bold in his convictions. And we see him showing that boldness just a few hours before his denial. He's with Jesus and the other disciples. What we refer to as the Last Supper, Matthew chapter 26. Jesus there predicts Peter's denial. Verses 31 through 35, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.' And Peter answered and said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' Peter said to him, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you.' And so said all the disciples." Peter was bold. Peter was convicted. He had faith. And he stood in it. He was firm in it. He was firm in the faith that he had because of the things that had happened to him in the past. We have other examples of Peter's boldness after Jesus feeds the 5,000. He sends the disciples out onto the boat and he goes away to pray. And in the middle of the night, he goes to meet them out on the sea. And he walks on the water. The disciples see him coming and are frightened. And Jesus says, "It is I." And this is Peter's response in Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 and 29. Says, "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Think about the faith that that would take in a man. To see Christ walking on water and to say, "Lord, let me come out there with you. Let me come out there." And then on the night of the betrayal, John's account in chapter 18, verse 10, Peter is there with Jesus. Hundreds of troops, soldiers are there to arrest him. And there's Peter, standing at the front, in front of all those soldiers. And what does he do? He draws his sword. Verse 10 there says, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus." Peter was bold. Peter stood up for what he believed in. He wasn't afraid for others to see his conviction. He wasn't afraid for others to know about the faith that he had. And that's the same thing that God wants from us. God wants us to be bold. But are we? Are you bold? Am I? Paul tells the Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." For I am not ashamed. But are we? Do we stand up for what we believe in? Do we talk to others? Do we tell others about our faith? Do we tell others about the gospel? Do we try to teach someone when the opportunity presents itself? I like when Stuart prays. He always says, help us look for that door that you're going to open. Help us have the courage to walk through that door. To take the opportunity that you give us. Help us be bold. Help us understand that we can do all things through you. Through the strength that you give us, we can be bold. We can be confident in the faith that we have. We can be confident in the salvation that we'll receive. We can be bold like Peter. You know, as I study through those scriptures, every time I read through the different accounts, there's one thing that always stands out to me. It's in Luke's account. As Peter is outside, Luke is the only one that tells us that Jesus looks at Peter. Peter is in the middle of denying Christ. It's the third time, to be exact. Luke chapter 22, verse 60 says, but Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered. He remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. The Lord looked at Peter. What would that be like? Can you imagine the wave of emotions that must have come over Peter? The words are still coming out of your mouth that you don't know him. I do not know the man. And he's looking at you. We don't know, but the implication is made that Peter sees Christ looking at him. Peter sees the Lord looking. Because then he's reminded. Just like he said. What that must be like? What it must be like to have that feeling. To know that the Lord knows. But shouldn't we know what that feeling's like? Shouldn't we know that God knows? Peter looked directly at the Lord. Peter saw Christ looking at him. Peter knew. We know. We know that God knows. Job 34, verse 21 says, for His eyes are on the ways of men, and He sees all His steps. David, in the 139th Psalm, verses 2 and 3, he says, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. God knows. We may not be able to look eye to eye with Christ. But we can look in His Word. And we can understand that He knows. And just like Peter denying Him, we do the same thing. We think about how it must have felt to Peter. But how does it feel to us? Peter did a lot of yelling. A lot of exclamation points in those verses when you read them. Peter really wanted to emphasize the fact that he did not know Christ. I don't know him. You know, I think lots of times we do the same thing. Except, we don't usually say, I don't know him. We do just the opposite. We like to walk around and talk about how good we are, how faithful we are. I'd like for people to know that I'm at church. I came and I got my star, my little attendance sticker. I was here. I might even post it on Facebook or something like that, just to let people know I was at church today. You know, Jesus says we will know them by their fruits. People around us know. They know who we are. They know what we stand for. Luke chapter 6, Jesus speaking there, verses 43 and through 45, says, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." We'll be known by our fruits. We're not always who we say we are. Talked about this a little bit in class, and you think about who are we trying to portray that we are? What's our end goal? What are we trying to accomplish? Are we trying to be pleasers of men, or are we trying to be pleasers of God? Do we just want people to see us here? The people that attend church with us? Do we just want them to see us sitting in our seat? Or do we want to be making an impact on others? Do we want to be influencing people for good? Do we want to be bringing people to Christ? We can do a lot of yelling and screaming and look at me. But if we're not truthful, it won't do any good. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, He says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Peter was trying to deny Christ. I'm not who you think I am. Sometimes I think we like to put on a front. I'm better than I really am. Kind of like Al talked about a few months ago. We like to put on those costumes. We like to trick people into thinking we're better than we really are. What about Peter's attitude after? After the denials. After Jesus looks out and sees him. Talk about how that must have felt. And we see how Peter felt. We see Peter's reaction to that feeling. It says he ran away, wept bitterly. He was overcome with emotion, the things that he had done, the things that he had said. turning his back on the Lord. But that's not how it has to end. He doesn't just deny and then that's it. Peter can change. And so can we. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9 there. This is Jesus speaking again. He's already talked about in the earlier chapter there in Luke about the good trees and the bad trees. And the good trees producing good fruit and the bad trees producing bad fruit. And then he speaks again there in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. He says, and he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. Peter denies the Lord. But that's not the end. We turn our backs on God on a daily basis sometimes. But that's not the end. God grants us more time. Give that tree one more year. Let me see if I can do something to it. Let me see if I can fertilize it where maybe it will start to produce. Lord, just give me more time. Let me turn my life around. That's the feeling that Peter had. He went away and he wept bitterly. And then he turns his life around, just a short time later, in Acts chapter 4. Jesus stands before the very Sanhedrin that Christ was before while he was denying him. And he tells those people, this is what you have done. This is the man who you have crucified. Acts 4 verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Peter stood in the courtyard and denied Christ. And then he went before the court. And they understood that he was with him. Then he writes us a letter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Peter then says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter says, beware lest you fall. And he knew something about falling. He said, don't let your own boldness get in the way. Because the wicked ones around you can pull you down. Peter denied Christ 3 times. But that wasn't the end. It was really just the beginning. If you're here this evening and you are not a Christian, you've never entered the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. Tonight is an opportunity for you to do that. Stand before men and confess Christ as Savior. as the Son of God. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're here and you are a Christian, you have sin in your life that you need to make public correction of. If there's any way we can assist you, we would invite you to come while together we stand.